is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To Europe. Joseph Sternberg, my colleague, is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political opinions based in London. And most recently, Joe is reflecting upon the Ukraine war from the point of view of what Moscow was hoping when it started the invasion and the depredations. It was hoping fragmenting the EU and NATO so that a deal, whatever it was going to look like, could be worked out and Moscow could resolve its inability to conquer Ukraine with an armistice. It hasn't happened, and yet the memory of this expectation is vivid because of one country in particular, Hungary. Hungary is a middle power. It has a very educated population. It enjoys the riches of the Black Sea Basin. At the same time, it is led by a man, Viktor Orban, who, for a moment, prior to the invasion of Ukraine, was a darling of what I understand to be some aspect of conservative America. I welcome Joseph to explain this. Mr. Orban, born 1963, and now apparently quiet. But Joseph, what was the presumption in Moscow about Viktor Orban prior to the invasion and then subsequent to the invasion, although it is now in eclipse? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. Well, I mean, Hungary has been a really interesting case for a few years now, both in terms of Russia and in terms of conservatives in the English-speaking world, especially in the U.S., because it's too much to suggest that Hungary has been a bridge between those two sides. But Hungary has been, under Viktor Orban, really Orban himself, has been trying to triangulate or quadrangulate between his own public and his popularity at home and Vladimir Putin's Kremlin and the European Union in Brussels and a certain strand of American conservatism that was sort of tied into the Donald Trump political movement. And the basic contour of it was that Orban wanted to present himself as a political leader within Europe who would be a staunch defender of kind of what Americans would think of as conservative family values, as against liberal left-wing wokeness, and at the same time would kind of have an attitude toward foreign policy that would be a bit more receptive to Putin's Russia than what has ended up being the conventional line on a larger parts of both the left and the right in the West, especially as the Ukraine invasion has gotten underway. And so this sort of positioning strategy of Orban's would take a lot of different forms that would overlap with each other. I mean, he seemed to be eager to cultivate closer economic ties with Putin's Russia, particularly on energy issues. Orban was very eager to pick fights with the European Union on issues like migration policy and then also the judiciary rule of law issues and very trendy liberal issues to do with, sexual ethics like, gay marriage and trans issues and that sort of thing. And at the same time, Orban also was cultivating closer relationships with American conservatives, some of whom were very sympathetic to former President Trump, sort of because he was presenting himself as a champion of Western civilization against the woke liberal elites. What's happening now is this all seems to be falling apart for Orban because, he's found himself in the situation where actually he's having to surrender in a lot of his arguments with the EU because he needs billions of euros in funding from Europe for various things. And that funding will come with strings attached. His closer relationship with Putin is less and less tenable the longer the Ukraine war goes on and the more positions on this issue elsewhere in Europe solidify. And certainly the Trump conservatives are on the outs now, especially after the midterm. So it's not clear what kind of influence Orban is going to have in the U.S. anymore.
The puzzle, though, is what Moscow saw in him. You mentioned that he was in contest with the European Union, sort of like Boris Johnson and Brexit. But at the same time, I remember reading stories about how Hungary was early on a dissenter from some of the EU and NATO decisions. NATO was funding and providing weapons for Ukraine, but there is a overlap between the EU and NATO, so that the money for that must proceed from the European Union. The dispute with the European Union, then, is that not abating but temporarily suspended, and therefore Moscow was wrong to presume that Orban was a dissenter, or Moscow was it put its faith in someone who was not reliable? Which is it, Joe?
Well, I think that the first important thing to remember here is that it isn't just Orban. And in fact, Putin's strategy for years has been to try to cultivate close relationships with politicians in a bunch of European countries. So, there's been a suggestion that Putin was trying to cultivate a very friendly relationship with Marine Le Pen, the right-wing populist politician in France. Most notoriously, he put former German Chancellor Gerhard Schröder on the board of various Russian energy companies, and was trying to cultivate goodwill in Germany by that relationship with Schröder and various other politicians from Schröder's Social Democratic Party, which is also, remember, the political party of current Chancellor Olaf Scholz. So it's not unusual for Putin to try to develop this kind of relationship with European politicians. The reason we're talking about Hungary is that Hungary seems to be the country where the politician with whom Putin had that kind of relationship has been most successful electorally. And that matters because for a lot of these decisions, both within NATO and within the European Union, decision making is still done on the basis of unanimity. So it actually only takes one. In order to create all kinds of problems here in terms of the ability of the organization as a whole to make vigorous decisions. But I think that what is happening is that even though Putin then ended up in what he would have thought was this desirable situation where a politician who was predisposed to be sympathetic to Putin was in power in a European country that's both part of the EU and NATO, Orban has discovered that there are a bunch of other imperatives, and one of those is that the Hungarian economy benefits pretty substantially from largesse from the European Union, billions upon billions of euros in aid to build roads and bridges and schools and cultural projects, and that's on top of all of the COVID relief that the European Union is promising member economies. And at the end of the day, that is probably more important to Orban and to Hungary than Orban's relationship with Putin is.
And the American connection here, the conservatives or whatever subset of conservatives, has that also eclipsed in the events of the Ukraine war?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what seems to have been going on there is that Orban was perfectly happy to cultivate that sort of relationship with some American conservatives, and they were often very happy to cultivate that relationship from their side for a couple reasons, one of which is that Orban really played into a lot of their own views on various culture war issues. And he also seemed like such a Trump-like politician that if you had Orban racking up electoral successes in Hungary, it made it possible to present Trumpism in the U.S. as part of a more successful global intellectual movement of sorts, which I don't think is really an accurate reading either of Trumpism or of Orbanism. But I think that there was kind of this attempt to suggest that there was some sort of consistent philosophical or ideological project in play here, and that Orban's election successes were showing that it would work. And that is kind of falling apart under the weight of Trump's own electoral failures in the U.S., coupled with the fact that Orban, whether or not he believes in some of this culture war stuff, he does not believe in it deeply enough to not take the European Union's money at the end of the day.
I'm speaking with Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of The Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's based in London. And we're moving now to the United Kingdom, another country that has dissented recently from the European Union, so much so that Brexit resulted. But now is Brexit reawakening the concerns of the Remainers? And what is Parliament up to, given the concession that there is at the same time a very high inflation and a negative GDP reporting immediately? What does that mean for the UK, for Europe, and for the US? I'm John Bowden.